Major fighting here.
It's all over the place.
Holy
Abnormal. I see dead people walking around like regular people.
Paranormal. Somewhere between abnormal and paranormal.
I felt like something was near me, kind of a eerie feeling.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Jeremy Scott asks the questions that we're all dying to know.
You can't handle the truth!
Hello? Hello?
You can't keep him down, no matter how hard you try.
Hey, that's the guy!
Traveling into the witching hour from the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, you're riding into the paranormal.
Are you buckled in? Because that is encouraged on the program tonight. We're going to get into channeling the afterlife, channeling of a deceased loved one with Elisa Medhus, MD, and spirit translator Kim Babcock. That is the program tonight, and I welcome you. I've seen lots of you trying to call in the past few moments. I appreciate that, but we haven't even laid the groundwork for the program, so hold your calls. We're not getting to those just yet. Unless, of course, you have a question or a comment for yours truly. And that number is 818-672-6865. 818-672-6865. But no channeling right now because we don't have our experts quite with us. And I cannot channel anything except my own thoughts. But keep that number handy because I will encourage your participation throughout the program tonight. Again, 818-672-6865, but not quite yet, friends. Weird week of paranormal happenings, as it really usually always is. I will tell you, we have something new, something special for you at the bottom of the hour. For those who aren't familiar with radio terms, that would mean right around 30 minutes past the hour. So be right here because it's something new and it's something special for you here on Into the Paranormal. Want to say thanks to my radio affiliates again tonight, Valentine Radio in Texas on 1610 AM. In Ohio, we've got St. Mary Catholic Church and 106.9 WLRU. What an endorsement, a Catholic priest or pastor picking up this program. We love you, Father Mike. Thank you for airing the program. Of course, we're also on the TuneIn Radio app, and then afterwards, you can catch the podcasts up on places such as YouTube and Spreaker. If you feel so inclined to help this program grow, there is a donate button. It says PayPal on the website, intotheparanormal.wix.com/ITP radio. Make sure you put the B between the A and the N, or you'll get to some other place. And I take no responsibility for where that may land you. intotheparanormal.wix.com/ITP radio. There is a reason why we still have a free website. But I appreciate those of you for checking in on the Twitter and on the Facebook and on the website and following along and calling early. I spoke to actually a couple of you even before the program came on tonight. And I missed my opportunity to go on Periscope. I was going to do that at the top of the hour. Note to self, that's usually the worst time to schedule a public appearance before the program's even started. You know, I got to make sure all my ducks are in a row and that everything's connected, all dots and I's and whatever they say. As far as the news is concerned tonight, there's some that are going to make you laugh out loud. I can guarantee you that, friends. There are some others that are going to make you start to think, if this is happening, what else might be happening? Now, see, that's how my brain works. Because when I get a bit of a carrot dangled over my head, it begins me on a quest to look for answers and to try to think, well, clearly this isn't the only application of this. There has to be something else. There is a scientist who has made the statement that we may be living in a computer simulation controlled by an evil genius, Laura D'Olimpio. She's a senior lecturer in philosophy at the University of Notre Dame, Australia. She says that humans could be the subject of a science experiment with our brains being kept alive in a vat of nutrients in a laboratory somewhere. And that the nerve endings of your brain are connected to a supercomputer that feeds you all the sensations of everyday life. You know, it's not too far away that a computer will pretty much control everything. It pretty much controls many things right now. And once there is no power to run those computers, the threat of an EMP or an electromagnetic pulse is probably the most serious threat to you and our, you and my civilization here on this planet. If you want something to fire you up, and by the way, I don't think that our brains are living somewhere else. I think that our brains are right where we believe them to be, because if they were not, I can tell you, friends, I know you probably don't want to go inside my head because it's a very, very scary place, and likewise. But nobody could come up with what's going on in my head. Just saying. Have you ever thought about the cell phone that you use every day actually being a form of programming? You know, everybody's got to have the latest and greatest these days, whether it's the iPhone or a smartphone or any kind of phone, or an Obama phone. We all want the latest and greatest. Heck, right now I'm using a phone that doesn't even have any service to it. It's Wi-Fi only. And, you know, there's so many apps out there that you can use to make phone calls. I don't even miss not having service. But even if I had service or if I didn't have service, this wouldn't protect me either way, because there's a story from Princeton University that has some people pretty freaked out. Now, there was this release of programming, API, Application Programming Interface, that came out in 2015, so a year ago. Well, as always with code, there are ways to manipulate this code to do certain things, and yep, the code was cracked, or the code was added to, or I'm not sure the lingo, but something of that sense happened. And now, this code is being used to use your battery indicator, you know, what tells you how much strength you have, to spy on you by gathering personal information and to be able to even track your mobile activity. How's that for freaky? Later on in the program, I've got some stories about where to search for extraterrestrial life, even a story of the Men in Black, and there's a couple of ones later that are going to have you laughing into Saturday night, Sunday morning, because they are just so far out there. Really, they are, that you're going to say, no way could someone ever make that up. Well, that's all to come here on this edition of Into the Paranormal. But let's think about this right now. Imagine losing your child to suicide and the grief and despair that would follow such a circumstance. I can't even imagine it. We're going to talk with a mother tonight who has gone through that, and also the channeler who makes communication in the afterlife possible. These occurrences propelled Dr. Aliza Medhus on a search for answers about death, the afterlife, untethered spirits, many of which came from an unexpected source. As a strong believer in science, Dr. Metis formerly viewed spiritual matters with skepticism, but her entire paradigm shifted once her son Eric, who took his life in 2009 at the age of 20, began to communicate with family, with friends, and with members of the blog. Well, through these communications from the other side, she's been able to find comfort and hope for herself and for others. Metis is a physician with more than 30 years' practice in internal medicine. She's author of My Son in the Afterlife, Conversations from the Other Side, My Life After Death, which is a memoir from heaven, and three award-winning parenting books. She, along with spirit translator Kim Babcock, work on the project Channeling Eric, and the website is channelingeric.com with a K. Kim Babcock has been able to see and hear things around her since childhood, but it wasn't until her mid-20s that she began to understand those abilities as a medium. She has conversations with spirits on the other side and expertise in energy healing. Kim holds a bachelor's degree in healthcare management. She's a licensed physical therapist assistant and an ordained minister, and her website is kimbabcock.net. Welcome, Dr. Metis and Kim Babcock, to the program.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you?
Wonderful. It's good to hear you, Dr. Metis. And do we have Kim there as well?
Hello, guys. I'm here.
Hello, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
It's good to hear your voice again.
How are you guys?
I'm wonderful. I've been talking with some folks who are really excited that you guys are going to be on the program tonight because they do want to channel Eric, but I feel it best that we set up this story before we just dive into those calls. So if you are calling, I would ask that you please hold your calls until at least the next segment as we meet Dr. Elisa Metis and spirit translator Kim Babcock. Learn about them and how they came to be on this project, which, again, you can find out more at channelingeric.com or the Facebook page, Channeling Eric, or on Twitter as well. Dr. Metis, tell us about your son, please.
Oh, goodness. What is there not to say wonderful about him? He suffered a lot from learning disabilities, from Tourette's, from bipolar disease, and he was so kind and gentle. He would take in strangers and talk to them and take them under his wing and bring them home for a nice home-cooked meal for me. So he was a very loving soul, but he was also very tortured by his inner demons. And, eventually bipolar disease is often a terminal one, and in his case it was. And eventually he did take his own life. And gosh, as a scientist / physician raised by atheist, I just cannot tell you, Jeremy, how lost I was after he died.
I can imagine. Actually, I can't really imagine that because I'm not a father, I'm not a parent, and I only can imagine how I think when friends and other family members die. I certainly couldn't imagine your circumstances. I know you've been through a lot, but there's really a message, a different message with what you're trying to do with Channeling Eric, is there not?
That's true. I think everything changed for me 3 days after Eric died. I received a call from my militantly atheist father. He was in a panic. He said, "I don't know what's going on." I was sitting in a chair reading the paper, but all of a sudden Eric is right in front of me and he looks at me and he turns into a little boy version of himself and crawls into my lap. And I'm like totally awake. I don't understand. I'm so startled. I don't know what to believe. So that changed things for me because, you know, you don't know my father, but he is not the kind of guy who would say something like that to make a person feel better. He had intense problems. He was a very difficult man. And so this scared him. And so that's when I thought, well, you know, I got to find out what's going on. And that's when I started researching quantum physics for conscious survival, near-death experiences, studies on mediums, et cetera. So, I just poured my heart and my brain into this to try to find an answer. Does Eric really still exist? And if so, where in the heck is he?
So when did this communication begin? Was it out of the blue? Was it something that you had asked for?
Well, that's a very good question. First, you know, when I was doing my research, we started getting signs from Eric that were, I would like to say, just indisputable. Even as a skeptic, I thought they were indisputable. We would have, you know, appliances that were completely unplugged, turn on and work. We would watch faucets turn on all the way. We would see airsoft BBs appear at the ceiling of faulted ground. We had him call on the telephone, and he said, "Mom, it's me, Eric, it's me." I saw him jumping at the foot of my bed back and forth. I mean, just things that just defy explanation.
At what point did you hook up with Kim Babcock?
Well, you know, first I used a medium, Jamie Butler. And that's the first time. I mean, look, I used to look at mediums like, okay, that's a gypsy hunched over a crystal ball. I did not take them seriously at all. But at the end of my research, I thought, well, you know, what have I got to lose? I know that a lot of parents do seek out the help of the medium to connect with their child. So, you know, I'm going to do it. And, you know, God, Jeremy, it was just amazing. I did not even tell Jamie anything except my first name and my last name. And I didn't even tell her I had a son at all. And yet she was able to say, "Your son is here. He says he took his life. Here's how he did it. He was sitting at his desk at the time. He was wearing these clothes. He used this kind of gun." I mean, it was so very specific. So I continued to book sessions with her to try to find out more. And at first, of course, the questions were like, why? And what did I do wrong? And what could we have done differently? But then eventually it evolved to, what was death like for you? And what's the afterlife like? And what is the life of the spirit like? And so on. And, you know, eventually Jamie decided to go into teaching more than mediumship. And I thank God found Kim, who is just amazing. And now she is the voice for my son.
Kim, we usually hear it the other way, at least I hear it the other way, that those who want to talk with the dead usually reach out in some capacity. It's not usually the other way around, where the dead will reach over and communicate with us. Or is that? Can you set me straight?
Well, it's interesting, Jeremy. That was certainly my experience. Like you had mentioned, I started schooling for physical therapy and then went on for healthcare management. And all the while I'm, you know, studying all of this, this tangible stuff that I could put my hands on and physically do with my hands and my body, there was something else happening this whole time. And you know, this is when I started to see spirit, started to hear from them, and really started to see vivid images and get messages that were really precise. And I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know why. But when I began to share it, basically based on the direction I was given from them, and you know, the person on the receiving end was able to validate the information, I sort of had to take a step back and I realized that communication was happening. This isn't something I ever sought out to do, and it's definitely not anything I ever understood. But as it continued to strengthen and it continued to get stronger, I made it a point to basically just sort of educate myself and figure out what the heck was happening. So I started to read about metaphysics and quantum physics and you know, all the clairs. And so I sort of developed it so that I could understand it. I, you know, somehow through these different books that I've read, I've put organization to it so that I can somewhat control it and understand it. Because at the time when it would happen so quickly, it would leave me very anxious, almost like a panic attack. So now that I know how to control it and sort of organize the information that comes through and even recognize it, it's much easier to deal with. So it's been a whirlwind, and working with the whole Channeling Eric team has been such a blessing. Eric has taught me so much, and he has helped people literally worldwide, all over the world. I connect with people that are hoping to hear from Eric from all over the world. And it's just amazing what that boy has accomplished. It really, truly is.
You mentioned the three clairs: clairvoyance, the ability to see, clairaudient, the ability to hear, and clairsentient, the ability to feel. Now, those abilities began rather young for you, but it was at a much later point in life that it really clicked. That was what was going on.
That's right. I remember way back in the day, I was probably, 8 years old when we lived in West Virginia. And I remember laying there in bed and just seeing faces all over the room and just knowing that the room was filled with people that were a little bit different. They weren't quite of the same form. But at the same time, I knew they were there, but I also knew that nobody else could see them. So I didn't know why I was seeing them. So I just sort of kept that stuff to myself. And as I grew and you know, matured a little bit with my age, I still continued to see things. Interesting things happened around me, but it wasn't until my late 20s that I really, truly dove in to understand what the heck was happening around me. So it's you know, through probably clairsentience has been my number one go-to this whole time. I knew what I felt. And the others developed along the way. You know, clairvoyance was always there. I just didn't understand it. So it's been an interesting ride, and never saw, you know, as a kid, you never really say, I'm going to grow up and be a psychic. It just sort of happened. And, you know, I've been really blessed along the way. And believe it or not, as people go through this awakening process, they call it, it can be quite devastating too. You know, just 2 weeks ago, I had some of my own family members tell me that they thought I was a lunatic, and that's hard to deal with, but, you know, you take it in stride and you just go with the flow.
All right. Well, if it's any endorsement, I don't think Kim Babcock is a lunatic. She's here on the program with Dr. Elisa Meadows, channeling Eric tonight. We'll continue. Stick with us. Bottom of the hour, something special for you. That means just a couple of minutes from now.
You're riding into the paranormal with Jeremy Scott.
And I'm Carissa Fleck. Holy witches. Two women believed to be witches have reportedly fallen from the sky of late in Ghana. Masons chased after a woman who told them she was hit by an electrical shock while flying through the air, which caused her to crash. No sign of a broomstick. Another locked herself in a bathroom. When the homeowner broke down the door and poured anointing oil on her, she confessed that she was flying as a bird and crashed when she turned into a human. Reports of UFO sightings in Florida are allegedly drawing the men in black. There were at least 5 reports in a week. At least one person who reported to MUFON says that he was visited by the notorious MIB. It looks like a flying saucer, moves kind of like one, so what is it? This is the video that you have to see. Police in Ireland chased a 10-foot flying saucer down a street, creating quite the spectacle. It turned out to be a promotion for a youth and arts festival. Genius. This video has gone viral. Have a laugh for yourself. It's at Into the Paranormal on Facebook and at Paranormal Show on Twitter. Krista Fleck, Paranormal News.
Thank you.
back in the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest. You're riding into the paranormal with Jeremy Scott.
Yes, we are channeling Eric tonight, 818-672-6865. That's 818-672-6865. We already have a couple of you on the line, so if you have not joined us right now, just hang tight. There will be plenty of time for everyone, hopefully, to get a part of this, and if not, we'll just do an overtime show. Not opposed to doing that. 818-672-6865. That's 818-672-6865. We're back with Dr. Elisa Meadows and also with Kim Babcock, Spirit Translator. And Kim has been telling us about her abilities. We've also been learning about how they came to be. Anything else that either of you would like to tell us about the project, I guess, before we go to some of your loyal fans?
Well, I think one thing I'd like to say is that despite all the pranks and visits and manifestations that Eric made, Ever the Skeptic, I really had a hard time, you know, believing it 100%. I'd like have her at 94%. And, you know, I think there's a good reason for that. I think I was really just afraid to believe in it because, you know, what if I did? And then I found out it was all nonsense. So I really dragged my feet on taking to heart all of this 100% hook, line, and sinker until I get, it was an email from a blog mirror saying that, look, you know, listen to a YouTube that you guys made a year and a half ago, and I hear three voices on it. And so I'm like, what? There's nobody but me and the medium there, so it's impossible. But I listened anyway, of course, and yep, there were three voices, and one of them was most definitely Eric's. I mean, I know the sound of my own kid's voice. It just was jaw-dropping to me. And, you know, I was so amazed by it that I had a sound professional analyze it. And the sound professional concluded that these are not human voices, because for many reasons, but one reason was they left no voice signature. And since then, Eric has left so many EVPs, you know, electronic voice phenomena, on radio shows and our sessions, etc. It's just amazing.
Kim, do you have anything else to say before we head to the phones?
Oh, no, you know, Eric's here. He's greeting both of you. He says, I hope you guys are ready. I thank you guys all for listening and tuning in. I know you blog members are out there, and Eric is ready for the questions. I'm ready.
Atlanta, Georgia-ish area, let's say hello to you. Welcome to Into the Paranormal, Dr. Meadows and Kim Babcock.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, your question.
How you doing?
Wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Mama Elisa. It's so good to be connected with you. Thank you for all the work you do. KB, thank you as well for channeling Eric. Oh, man. Oh, it's so good to... Okay, I got a question. Eric, what's up, dude? It's good to talk to you again. I was wondering if you could bring my higher self in. I have a question.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your first name?
That's short for Shepherd.
Oh, Shep. Okay.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. So, Shepherd, you wanted to bring in your higher self for Eric to, you know, to kind of bring in your higher self just for general just guidance and advice?
Just give me some advice on life. I have a big calling to help people and to help them get rid of a lot of fear. And I do this daily. And I was wondering, like, how can I turn this into making a living off of it, because it's like a new path. There's no education to kind of go. I have no, like, you know, kind of ground rules to start a business with this. So I was wondering, like, am I doing the right thing? Can I get some guidance?
Sure. First of all, know that Eric's really playful and interactive with you. He says, what's up, bud? As he connects to your higher self, the information that he's bringing forward he says when your passion meets your reality, or vice versa, when your reality meets your passion, and that those two clash, those two or crash together, when those two come together, he says, anything can manifest from that. He says, you don't need a certificate on the wall that says, you know, you're a life coach or whatever it may be. He says, if you first align with what you're passionate about, it doesn't matter what avenue you push it through, you're going to be successful. But he does make me feel like you're going to focus in education. It almost seems like helping to build, this is what Eric says, it's like helping to build electives or some sort, like structuring some sort of class that is emotionally focused or emotionally driven. It's literally like teaching young adults or even children emotional awareness or emotional importance, but also empowerment. Eric says you really have a strong grip on and a strong understanding of what being self-directed really means, being self-empowered, but also emotionally aware and having a good strong hold on both of those. And as you couple those together and express those and teach that to people, he makes me feel like you're going to be really, really effective. And the reason why I'm laughing is because he's talking as if he's answering your questions. He says, well, just start from the ground up. It's like he's answering if you asked, like, well, where do I start? And he was like, he goes, look at Kim. She started from scratch. He says, start, you know, pushing it through social media. Start, you know, building a blog and sharing. Because, first of all, when you align with your passion, you can't be on the wrong path. You can't fail. You won't fail, he says. But also, as you honor that true part of yourself and express it, he says you will be successful and you will grow in abundance with it because you're aligning with your true self. So don't worry about having education, you know, that has a certificate on the wall that says that you're certified to do this.
No, I'm not worried about that. I've already linked up with Jamie Butler actually here in Atlanta, and me and her,
that's awesome.
We became like really good friends, and it's proof, like, the Love and Light Institute just, like, took me in a little bit, and I got to host an event, and it was really successful promoted a lot of change and growth here as far as, you know, what's been going on in this world. So I'm just so excited, man. I'm excited to be here, and, oh, man, I just love you.
That's
all.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call.
That's fantastic. We love you right back.
We appreciate that. Area code 818-672-6865. That's 818-672-6865. And you can Skype into Parabnormal on, Skype, of course. You can click the button into the parabnormal.wix.com/ITP radio. We have a chat room tonight. If you'd like to send questions in there, you can as well. Let's now move the conversation to somewhere in California. Maybe down in the Los Angeles, Santa Barbara area. Hello, you're on Into the Paranormal with Dr. Medus and with Kim Babcock.
Hello?
Yeah, first name.
Hi, my name is Lisa.
Hello, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Kim.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Hi.
I'm great. I'm the girl kissing the horse on your Facebook.
Oh, there we go.
Wait. You kissed a horse?
I'm the girl in the picture on my profile. I'm kissing my horse. And I just friended them a few days ago.
Did you wash your mouth out with soap afterwards?
I'm so excited to talk to Eric and you guys. And I guess my first question is, what's my purpose?
Good.
Eric says, ooh, he says, I love when people ask me this. He says, because if I can turn your eyes back to you and make you see the beauty of your own self, he says, then I'm doing something right. Lisa, he says, your purpose is, let's see here. this is interesting. This is really interesting. It's almost, he's like showing me, this might seem really strange, but it's like you're handling food. It literally looks like, Eric calls it, he says quality control. And he has like a police hat on. So what he's getting at is, I don't know if you are, you know, a health guru, or if you're somebody who really is in tune with nutrition and the way nutrition, you know, affects your body one way or another. But he says that you're going to spark an interest in food, but also link people to knowledge as far as that's concerned. So really interesting images there that he's showing. But he also says that if you don't have creative leverage, no matter what you're doing, you won't be happy. And he's like, he sat back, he crossed his arms and crossed his legs. And he said, that's the end of the story. If you don't have creative leverage and the ability to express yourself creatively, he says, you'd be frustrated. So make sure no matter what you're doing, that you have that creative leverage. Cause if you're punching a time clock 9 to 5, he said, you're going to get jaded really quick. So make sure you have creative leverage, but you're going to link people to knowledge, and it looks like it's nutritionally related.
Wow, that's fantastic. I have one more question.
Eric said, he just says, you're fantastic.
No.
He's just a goofball. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that answer. I appreciate that. One quick question. I lost my beloved cat, and kind of a mystery. I had him for a long time, and we loved him so much. And a couple months ago, he just disappeared. And I'm thinking the worst, what happened, and kind of want to know if he's okay. I'm sure he is, but I just hope nobody stole him from me.
Eric says, he says, nobody took your cat. He makes me feel like the cat left in curiosity, or like wandered off in curiosity. To be quite honest with you, I'm not sure that the cat is on the other side. I don't know. Eric isn't showing me that. But he does try to reassure you that nobody took the cat from you. He makes me feel like the cat left through curiosity.
So Eric is a cat. Has the cat transitioned, Eric?
I don't think so. He says no, Mom. He doesn't show me. He's not connecting. He says no.
I heard somebody say meow. Was that you, Jeremy?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
we have lots of coyotes
Eric
here.
Eric will say things during these shows too. All right, so you're the troublemaker.
That's true.
That's me, present and accounted.
So many EVPs.
Mm-hmm.
Not a coyote?
I don't think so. He still says no. He gives me all the no, this no energy. So.
But the cat come back?
He just says no, Mom. Elisa, it's so interesting. When you ask questions, his energy just ramps up. He's so clear when you say, you know, will the cat come back? He comes in so clear. It's really interesting. Gosh, I just wish I could project, you know, what I see like into a film. Can somebody just go ahead and invent that kind of device?
I'll get right on it.
Now, Kim, some are just hearing this interview for the first time tonight, and they're wondering, how is she doing this?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. You know, as I work with Eric, what I've come to realize is our best form of communication, I think, is through claircognizance, which to me, a lot of times when Eric and I communicate, it's like, I'm going to assume it's like telepathic communication, because what I feel like is happening is I feel like literally Eric is standing so close to me that I just merge with his thoughts and his information. So sometimes there's like a waveform that I can see coming towards me, and then I receive the information that way. But a lot of times it's just merging with him and his thoughts and his answers that I'm able to translate for him. Now, sometimes he'll just totally drop off and use pictures. and I won't hear his voice. I just see pictures, and that can make it a little challenging, but he's still pretty clear on what he's trying to say with the pictures. He can be very literal. He'll show me throwing something away. If he's telling people, you know, you're throwing it away, don't throw it away, if it's their dreams or aspirations or whatever. But Eric knows how to get his point across, and he knows his translators very well. So, if clairaudience is my strong point, or if he's talking through another medium and clairvoyance is their strong point, he knows them. And he knows what avenues to use to be most effective. So that's what makes him such a great spirit guide.
But he's always pretty blunt. So he says it like it is. And the cool thing about Eric, I think, is that
very true.
He's very approachable. He's not one of these gurus that starts out with, "Welcome, my dear one." No. He says it like it is. A lot of, sailor talk in there. But, it's just like people can somehow relate to him better that way.
Doctor,
he's like one of us.
You mentioned, a scientific background, not very much of a spiritual upbringing. What was the verifiable point for you that says this really is communication from my deceased son? When did you know for sure that whoever was telling you that this was him trying to reach you wasn't pulling your leg?
Well, it was probably about 4 years after his death, really. I'm kind of a slow learner, I swear. I mean, all the proof we had from pranks and visitations and phone calls was not enough for me. But it was that one session where his voice came out loud and clear. And that is on our YouTube channel, by the way, that was over for me. I mean, I knew that was my boy. And the sound professionals proved that this is not a human voice, that this is, just not a human voice. And that did it for me. And ever since then, all the EVPs we've had are just, just added proof. So I know 100% that my boy is still alive without a body, of course, but in another dimension. And I think the most important thing I have learned from him is that we should continue to have a relationship with our deceased loved ones. Just because they don't have a body doesn't mean you say, okay, rest in peace, bye, see you later. They want to continue to have a relationship with us, and there's no reason why we should not, just because they don't have that physical shell.
Kim, how did you develop this connection with Eric, and is it possible to develop this with just any soul?
To answer the latter of the two first, I think it's possible, but the difference is Eric has made himself clear as a spirit guide. He has made himself, he's very deliberate in being a spirit guide and staying connected to the earthly realm to help us here. So I think that's the difference. When I communicate to others, when I just do private sessions and bring through loved ones, the communication style is so different. And that's because, Eric has decided to or chosen to be a spirit guide to help us enrich our lives and live the best life possible. So to do that with just any spirit, I don't know. I think it's always possible, but there's just something unique about Eric. And the way that I developed a relationship with him was, a long story short, I was attending Reiki class. A friend gave me Eric's book, and it sat on my shelf for about 3 months. A friend in that Reiki class gave me the book. It sat on my shelf for about 3 months until one day it literally flew off my shelf and just fell onto the floor. I picked it up and said, "All right, thanks, Eric. I'll get to you." Never did read it. The next day, the same thing happened. Still didn't open the book. And then that night, he came to me in a dream, white t-shirt and jeans, commonly how I see him. And he handed me the book and said, "Please read." And so the next day, I was, okay, I read the whole book in one day. And it blew my mind. It shattered my beliefs. It kind of took me back to ground zero to where, I had all these attachments to beliefs and routines and rituals, and it resonated so strongly with me as truth that I thought, okay, now I got to start all over because now I know I have attachments. But then in that process, I reached out to Elisa and sent her a sample session where Eric had come through. There's a family that he works with a lot that are clients of mine, and sent her that audio clip. And then from there, we developed a friendship and we had started doing Skype sessions. And, you know, Jeremy, I'll never forget, I even Skyped Elisa so she could meet this young gentleman. I had a perfect stranger come into my shop, had a session. And sometimes as a translator, it's not easy to pass along the messages that I'm getting from Eric because he is so blunt. But he started shouting at me with his young kid and he said, "Do not take your own life." And come to find out, this young boy said that this reading was his last thread. You know, it was his last hope. He had just lost his dad and his best friend. And he thought if he didn't get anything out of this reading, he was going to take his life. And Eric came through without me even asking or trying to connect to him and helped save that young kid's life. And his whole life has turned around now. And he's done that so many times. And that's what's so incredible about Eric is how he can help people turn their life around in so many ways. So that's why I'm so passionate about this kid. It's just amazing what he does.
From our chat room, into the paranormal.wix.com/ITP radio, you'll find it on the front page or you can click to the chat section. From James, question. I followed my heart and ended a 27-year relationship due to spiritual incompatibility. I had PLR guidance and guidance from Eric to make this change, for which they say thank you, by the way. I have moved out on my own, and while I am manifesting positive thoughts for abundance, financial freedom, and to have all that I need to be happy in my new home, I want to find out if this will come to be. I'm really focused on not worrying about the financial side of being able to do this on my own. So if Eric can give me an idea if this manifesting will continue toward the abundance and financial freedom, I would appreciate it. Love to all of you. That's from JamsKnit1 in our chat room.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sending in that question. This is what Eric says. He says, when we're talking about manifestation, there's a lot to think about. First of all, he's applauding this person. I can't remember the first name. He's applauding them because you have to be willing to put the physicality behind it. You can't just send out hopes and wishes and dreams and think that it's all going to materialize. You have to put the physicality behind it. But the difference is, he says, when you're working on manifesting something or anything, you have to stop at a checkpoint and figure out what your motivation is. If you're trying to manifest something with a motivation of lacking or of fear, he says, then you're going about it all wrong. He says, you're making the right choices, but just remember, and he says, you're in the right place, but he's doing air quotes because there's no real wrong place. But he says, first of all, oh, he's talking so fast.
Slow down there, man.
Well, we're at a break point right now, so let's pause, and we'll pick that back up with Kim and with Dr. Elisa Meadows. So we've got a full break. So, ladies, catch your breath, grab some water. We'll be back for a final hour, or maybe longer if you keep calling. We're channeling Eric tonight. I'm Jeremy Scott, taking you into the paranormal.
I see dead people walking around like regular people.
Paranormal. Somewhere between abnormal and paranormal.
I felt like something was near me, kind of a eerie feeling.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Jeremy Scott asks the questions that we're all dying to know.
You can't handle the truth!
Hello?
keep them down, no matter how hard you try.
Hey, that's the guy! And he's back for more!
Traveling into the witching hour from the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, you're riding into the paranormal.
As we departed at the end of the last hour, Kim Babcock was channeling Eric, the late son of Dr. Elisa Meadows, channelingeric.com with a K. And by the way, the person who sent in that question from our chat room is Julie up in the Seattle area. And as we left the conversation, Kim was trying to keep up. Eric was talking much, much too fast, wasn't he, Kim? Hang on 1 second. Isn't that true, Kim?
That's right. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. That was my fault. So hopefully he's maybe slowed down over the break, or did he just continue talking?
No, he slows down because he'll get really passionate about something and he starts to cuss a lot and then he talks really fast.
Oh, yeah.
And then he knows that I'm struggling to keep up, so he'll slow down. So, but, you know, he's talking about making the choices to help yourself manifest, you know, the things that you want in life. But the biggest key here for everybody listening, he says, is no matter what you're trying to manifest, to check your motivation. If you're trying to manifest something out of fear, like an abundance in finances because I'm broke, he says, if the fact that you're broke is your motivation, you got to start over. You're going about it all wrong. He says, because if being broke is your motivation, then you're going to continue to manifest that same state of existence for yourself over and over. So step into gratitude for the abundance that you have. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's, you know, whatever you can count as abundance. Start there and start over. He says, your motivation is huge in what you're trying to manifest. He says, but he's applauding this person because it also takes physicality, putting the physicality behind it to help things manifest. You have to be emotionally responsible and make decisions also that contribute to that manifestation. So listen to your heart. He always says this to people. Your heart knows where it belongs. It knows where it needs to go. It's just you, your head, that can get in the way sometimes. So make sure you follow your heart. Let your heart lead the way and not your head.
Yeah, that reminds me of that, what Eric says over and over again is feel first, think second. And wow. We humans usually have it the other way around. Uh-huh. We usually, you know, have a thought, and that produces some sort of emotion, and that emotion creates some sort of reaction or choice. But we should do the opposite, where we feel first, get in touch with your heart, and then you know, have that produce a thought, and let that thought create a reaction or a choice.
Dr. Meadows, what have your experiences taught you about death and the afterlife?
Oh, gosh, that's such a good question. Well, now I know that we live on, that we are eternal beings, basically. And that is, you know, as somebody who's lost a child, I can't tell you how comforting that is. And I realize now that we can continue to have a relationship with our loved ones, that, like I said before, just because they've lost their body does not mean that they are different. They're the same. They just don't happen to have that little car they were driving around in their human life, and they're in some sort of parallel dimension. And there's no reason why we can't continue to try to talk to them, be with them, etc.
Fantastic stuff tonight, channelingeric.com. With a K is where you can find out more. There's also a Facebook page and there is a Twitter page. I've linked to both of those on my pages, at Paranormal Show on Twitter and at Into the Paranormal on Facebook. We have a call, so like I well, we had a call. Like I just told folks in the chat room, callers do go to the front of the line. So if you call 818-672-6865, 818-672-6865, you'll get on before, say, somebody who's sending in a message in through the chat room. We had another question. And by the way, thank you for that question from Julie. Now from Lisa, this might have been a question a follow-up. This might have been the same Lisa that called from California. Could be an entirely different Lisa, so I'll just ask the question, not knowing which is true. A question for Eric. Is there a spiritual reason why I have been so tired lately, or is it something else? Please help me focus on figuring that out so I can heal it. Thanks, Eric. We love you.
Ooh, Lisa, he's telling you that this is all about, he says, you know that thing called an emotional empath? There's also physical empaths, and he's like doing a drum roll. He says, guess what? You're both. So let's explain here. And then he's getting into, you know, boundaries. If you're an emotional empath and a physical empath, a lot of people can be both. Some people are one or the other. You can often feel drained, fatigued, and prone to illness, he says. So first, he says, emotional empaths, he says, you guys already know that. Of course, he's talking to his blog members, so let's explain. Being an emotional empath basically means, you know, feeling the emotions of events around you or even people around you, being very emotionally affected by the world around you, or it affecting you through your emotional center. Set boundaries. Then also he says, and we'll get into that maybe if we need to, a physical empath is very similar. Being next to somebody who maybe has a jacked up hip, he says, and then all of a sudden your hip feels like it's jacked up and you start to think, what the bleep? Yeah, you're welcome for that bleep.
Wow.
My hip hurts. Why does my hip hurt? But it's because you're sitting next to your grandpa whose hip, you know, is broken or, you know, recovering or whatever it may be. You then begin to feel that physically too. So Lisa, for you, he says that you have tendencies for both. So first of all, being aware of it is key of the empathic ability. Being aware of it is key so that you can set boundaries. So now that you're aware of it, it's time to set your boundaries. He's acting like a teacher. He says, you got your homework to do. So, being aware of it, you're more able to go out into public and set those boundaries. It's like having a bubble around you. It's, you know, some people imagine a wall around them so that they're not so affected by the world around them. Because he says, you can ask him this one. If you walk around open all the time and with your feelers on all the time, it can leave you feeling drained and exhausted all the time. So you've got to turn that off sometimes. You've got to start to set boundaries. And then two, asking yourself, if you're a physical empath, he says, asking yourself, well, why do my knees hurt all of a sudden? Or why does my hip hurt all of a sudden? Is this mine? Does this feel like it belongs to me or from someone else? So having that awareness is going to be key to set boundaries and improve your health and your energy levels, he says. Long explanation, but yeah. Eric is not a short answer kind of guy. He would rather teach you than just give you a yes or no kind of answer. Because he feels like if he's teaching you, he's doing you much better service than if he just gives you a straightforward answer. So sometimes it's quite wordy.
Since I believe I heard you channel something from Eric a little bit earlier in relationship to the show, chances are he's listening to us right now.
Oh, of course. Eric? Is that what you're asking, Jeremy, if Eric is listening?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Very, 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 I'm not sure how I feel about that. Should I feel good about that, Dr. Medus, that that.
Well, of course. And Eric, do you have a message for Jeremy? A personal message? Jeremy.
Okay, so he's, when you said that, Elisa, he's not saying anything. He's giving me the silent treatment, but he's using image. He's tapping on his watch. And Elisa, do you remember we did a different show? Coast to Coast, I think it was. I can't remember what show we were on, but the host left the show. We were on break, and Eric left a voice or, you know, EVP or something. I can't remember what it was, but totally spooked the host. He said he was the only one in the studio, and oh my gosh, all the hairs on the back of my neck are standing up. Eric says he's going to do the same thing. He's kind of like, be on your feet. That's why he's tapping on his watch. He's like, are you ready? Be on your toes. So
I remember it's Coast to Coast, and the host said that he was on break, thinking about other questions to ask. And all of a sudden, somebody creeps up behind him and says, hee, 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 like that. And he looks behind him, and it's like there's nobody there. And it just freaked him out.
Yeah.
So good luck with that. Good luck with that, Jeremy.
Yeah, okay.
Being on that show too, I just kept telling Eric, I was giving fuel to the fireman. I said, this is your chance. Do something. Leave an EVP, do something. And the host was like, okay. He was like, we just got back from break, and he had to break down and share it because he was like totally creeped out, but in a good way. Eric's really playful. He would never do something if he thought it would truly frighten you, because that would trigger an opposite effect. It would cause you to shut down, and he would never do that. But for what it's worth, he's tapping on his ears and saying, listen. So if we have time, you know, go back through and listen for EVPs. I would encourage that, because he's saying, listen, and he's got a big old grin on his face, an ornery grin.
He will probably leave one. I remember kind of recently we had a host call back after the interview and said, Elisa, this is crazy. I hear a voice that we did not hear live. And so I said, okay. So I listened, and I hear Eric saying really loudly, okay, like you would know if you heard it live, the word minions. So he shouted out, minions. And then right after that, the medium said he's calling the minions. So there's so many, just indisputable EVPs on nearly every session we have, every radio show we have. So it would be good to listen and find out if he's dropped an EVP bomb on you, Jeremy.
Okay, next break, I will take my headphones off, and I will report back to you, ladies. Kimberly at Ottawa, you're on. Welcome to the Paranormal.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
That's good. I have a question for your guest, for Kim, if she could channel Eric through. Jeremy, as you know, I lost my mom very suddenly of a blood clot 7 years ago. And it was a situation that really marked me. And before my mom died, she had told me she would come back. And so we started playing around with our cell phones, and we caught a few messages on the cell phone. And we thought it was my mom. It definitely sounded like her. So do you think Eric could maybe let me know if it was my mom, or if she will come and just let me know she's watching me, and like any confirmation, is she there? Is she watching me?
Yes. Thank you so much for calling in. Eric is saying a lot. First of all, he says, he's thanking you for keeping your heart open to this process, because he says it's people like you that keep your heart open to allow movement and growth to happen. And people like you contribute to basically like the betterment of the world, he says. Like he's using image again to speak. But as far as with your mother, he says your mom is trying actually many ways to show you, to let you know she's still with you, to show you the survival, her survival. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's even just limited to these messages. Eric is also saying pay attention to smell from your mother. So okay. If it's that you smell her perfume, if you smell flowers when, you know, you're standing at the kitchen sink doing dishes or something, it will be smell that is out of context or triggers memory of your mother. But she's also leaving, Eric says, like visual cues.
That's true. I often see on the clock the exact time that she died multiple times a day. And so you're correct in saying that.
Like more than two times?
Thank you for that.
More than two times. I see it at least three times a day. I'll see it either on a sign. I'll see 5/11. I'll see it if I'm reading a book. I'll see page number 5/11. I'll see it on the TV. And I find it just so strange. Like it's...
I got you.
Can spirits communicate in that sense, Kim?
Oh, absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt, that's one of the easiest ways for them to communicate. And what Eric is saying to you is, you know these are signs from your mother. You know they're signs from your mother, he says. Now it's just a matter of accepting it as such, because he says that you tend to hesitate in belief. It's it's almost like how it seems very similar to how Elisa explains, you know, okay, she's had, you know, some signs and some proof, and she's very hesitant to believe all of this until she really got, you know, that EVP that just kind of anchored everything for her.
Right.
So now Eric is telling you to you know, set aside all the questions, all the fears and the doubts, and accept the signs that you're being given. He says, because as you do, your connection will only grow stronger with your mother. So he makes me feel like she's been working really hard to give you signs and reassurance.
I believe that's true. I do believe it's true. Yeah. So that's very reassuring. Thank you so much for you know, giving me that hope that she is still there, because we were so close. I love my mom so much. And I just want to say, if you're out there, Mom, I love you. So have a great night, guys.
Kimberly, thank you so much for the program.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kim. Thank you, Jeremy. Have a great night.
Absolutely. That's Kim up there from Ottawa, you're Canada, checking in. Elisa, did you have any comments on that? Dr. Meadows.
No, I understand how she feels. You know, it's so hard to believe. It really is very difficult because, you know, the world is against us. You only have, you know, it kind of reminds me of the time where we thought the world was flat, and some dude stood up and said,
Many people still think the world is flat. There's probably several thousand.
All of a sudden, this guy says, hey, dudes, the world is round. And so what happened? They got ridiculed and scorned and thrown into prison or whatever. And I think we're at that point right now where we're going through those phases. And the great Arthur Schopenhauer said this wonderful quote that really helped me a lot. Truth goes through three phases. First, it's ridiculed, then it's scorned, and eventually it's accepted as self-evident. And I think with spirituality and consciousness survival, we're going through those steps, and we'll get there.
818-672-6865. That's 818-672-6865. My guest, Dr. Elisa Meadows, and also Kim Babcock, Spirit Translator. And you can find more information at channelingeric.com. That's Eric with a K. Or, of course, Kim Babcock's website is kimbabcock.net. We have more questions that are still coming in from the chat room, and of course your calls will put you to the front of the line. This question from Jake: I was wondering if Eric could tell me what chakras I should be focusing on right now, and if there are any other ways I can be my best self right now. You are the best. All the love. That's from Jake.
Oh, that's awesome. What a cool question. Eric is showing, he's using image to talk, which is pretty good with this one. When Jake, when he's guiding you to, you know, to strengthen chakras, clear them, work on them, whatever. He's literally showing the first and the last chakra. So that would be your crown chakra and your root chakra. So he says the crown chakra just needs strengthened. The root chakra needs developed. So the two sort of go hand in hand, but it's a little different when he says it needs developed. It's just meditate. Okay, so he uses that word cautiously, and he wants you to know that, Jake. Meditate on the root chakra, but what he means by that is, you know, it's all about grounding yourself to yourself. Sometimes you just ground yourself, period. Like after I channel or meditate, I just ground out, you know, whether I eat or go outside. But if grounding yourself to yourself is a little bit different. So basically do the things that make you Jake, that fulfill you in yourself, because you're then grounding to your conscious self. And in that process, you'll strengthen the flow of energy to that chakra and within that chakra. Then he says, he's going back to talking about the crown chakra. He's encouraging you to use visualization to strengthen it. And he says to tell you, Jake, to reassure you that you don't need any justification or validation to know that you're a clear channel. So I'm not sure what that means to you, but hopefully it resonates with you, Jake. Develop and strengthen both of those areas, and I think you'll find yourself in the best place you can be right now.
I can't believe it, but we're only at the half hour left point of the program with Kim Babcock and Dr. Elisa Meadows, so make sure you stick with us, because when we come back, we will put a nice pretty bow on this conversation and wish you a wonderful weekend. 818-672-6865. 818-672-6865. Stick with us.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Jeremy Scott asked the questions that we're all dying to know on Into the Paranormal.
This is Paranormal News, and I'm Carissa Fleck. Would you allow an implantable device to control some of your bodily functions? Scientists at the University of California, Berkeley, have developed a sensor the size of a grain of sand that transmits wireless data in real time about the nervous system and organs. They say it can replace our brain's wired electrodes, control epilepsy, appetite, and bowel movements, all via computer. Tell us what you think at Into the Paranormal on Facebook and at Paranormal Show on Twitter. As Jeremy talked about earlier tonight, it turns out our phones are not so secure. A new report from Princeton University says the battery is being used to spy on us. Hackers cracked some code and are using it to gather our personal information and monitor mobile activity. Make sure you keep a close eye to the sky this coming Thursday into Friday. You might see a huge meteor shower. NASA says it's expected to be one of the largest and most active in history, capable of lighting up the sky with massive display of exploding space debris. Carissa Fleck, Paranormal News.
You're riding into the Paranormal on TuneIn, Spreaker, WLRU, Valentine Radio, and streaming on the internet.
Into the Paranormal.
ITP Something about that just sounds wrong. Into the Paranormal. That's better. Jeremy, take it away.
Why, I certainly will. Thank you, Chris McCann. I'm Jeremy Scott. Into the Paranormal.wix.com/ITP Radio is my free website. If you'd like to get me out of the last century and into the new century with my own domain, send me some love by clicking that PayPal tab. Into the Paranormal.wix.com/ITP Radio. I would be forever grateful for you. We're adding a Sunday show because you've asked for it. You want more of yours truly, so more of it you're going to get. Same time, same place on the final Sunday of the month. So that'll mean Saturday and Sunday. And our first one of those Sunday shows is going to be coming up on August 28th as we talk ET and UFO encounters with Preston Dennett. He's kind of a big deal in this genre. The night before, Tom Pettit and Ken Pfeiffer joined me. We're going to be talking about UFOs around nuclear installations, and also Ken will deliver his regular sightings reports. 2 weeks from now, we've got Eugene Braxton on the program as we're going to talk with him about solving the near-death experience and solving the abduction phenomenon. That'll be a fascinating thrill ride for sure, as it should be next week with ufologist Peter Robbins, the great Peter Robbins, coming up next week on the program. Tonight, it's Dr. Elisa Medus, MD, spirit translator, Kim Babcock. Medus, a physician of more than 30 years, author of My Son in the Afterlife, Conversations from the Other Side, and My Life After Death, a memoir from heaven, channeling Eric with a K.com. Kim Babcock started to realize her abilities about mid-20s in life that she had had since a child, of being able to see and hear things and also feel the clairvoyance that we talked about earlier, clairaudient, clairsentient abilities. Her website, KimBabcock.net. And welcome back to both of you for the final segment. I'd like to turn it over to each of you for some thoughts, if you have anything in relationship to what we've talked about thus far, or if there's anything upcoming that you would like to help me get the word out about. Please go ahead. We'll start with you, Dr. Medus.
Well, I will let Kim talk about our 8-city tour. It's awesome. But I think the most important thing I can tell people, and I've alluded to this before, is that when you lose somebody, you really don't lose them. They lose their body, and they are still exactly the same, only without the, you know, mental or physical ailments that may have plagued their body in life. And there are some very simple ways you can, you know, communicate with them. Let me tell you a really simple one. It's called the hand game, okay? Yes, no questions only work for this, but designate one hand as yes and one as no, and then ask them a question like, are you here, or whatever, or do you love me, et cetera. And then you wait. You put your hands slightly apart in front of you. You don't want to get them too close to each other because the energy fields sort of affect each other. And there's physics behind all this, by the way. And you just wait until you feel some sort of different sensation in one hand. It could be a difference in temperature. It could be numbness, tingling, pain even. But you just wait. And if you don't get anything after a while, say, make it stronger until you finally get the sensation you need to understand that that's their answer. So it can be as simple as that, but you can also channel them. If you just learn how to recognize when it's not your voice, but your loved one's voice, you can have a daily conversation with them. You don't need a medium, but mediums help. Kim, thank you very much. I'm so glad I have you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's definitely a pleasure.
Yeah, 8-city tour, Dr. Medu said.
Yeah, we do. We have Chicago coming up at the end of this month, the last weekend in this month, I believe it is. We'll be in Chicago. We've been to Denver and New York so far, and we have Chicago, Oahu, Sedona, Austin, Orlando, and San Diego coming up. So basically what we're doing at these events is, like I tell everybody at these events, we sort of, Eric and I, you know, I've kind of coupled up with him to sort of outline the weekend with workshops, but he'll give the category or the topic that he wants to talk about, but we don't ever write notes. We don't print stuff out, you know, and then I stand up there and read. I live channel the entire weekend, because what I ask Eric to do is, you know, okay, we've got, you know, Saturday morning, we're going to talk about mental illness for an hour and the spiritual basis of it. But what I do is I'll have Eric tune into the collective consciousness of the group that's there, and then, you know, and then provide the information that those people need to hear. So it's not the same from one city to the next. It's never going to be the same. We've talked about the different clairs, how to develop them, the chakras, the importance of smudging yourself, grounding yourself, you know, so many things we've talked about. And it's all guided, and it's live channeling from Eric as far as what he thinks and knows the audience needs to hear. And then we'll do, throughout the day, we'll do a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning. We do open gallery readings too, where it's just an hour to an hour and a half of people asking Eric their questions about their spiritual growth and development, even their personal questions. So these weekends have turned out to be so fantastic and so healing. And it's awesome because, like Elisa always says, it's a life-changing event, and I've really begun to see that happen because friendships are happening that last a lifetime. You know, these people that met at the event in New York had no idea that they were neighbors, had no idea that they both loved the Channeling Eric blog, and now here they are, you know, being neighbors and having someone wow. to share all of this with, because they both were so introverted with it. I can't share it with my family. So now they met at the Channeling Eric event and they've continued a friendship. And it's really cool to see that kind of stuff happen and that kind of stuff come out of these events. So that's our purpose in traveling, is to really bring that live personal experience to everybody that comes to these events. And we've got Sedona coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody will get to meet Elisa. I know that so many people admire Elisa, your strength and your courage and your entire family, because of the way that you share your story. This is still a tragedy that occurred to a family, and the way that you guys and your family, Elisa, has shared Eric with literally the world is so inspiring to so many people. And I know that when we all gather in Sedona, they're looking so forward to meeting you.
Oh, shucks.
We've got a lot coming up. You guys can find out, you guys can find out information about the tour on channelingeric.com and also on my website at kimbabcock.net. There should be a link up there for you too. So a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Speaking
then of, in Sedona, we're going to go visit the vortexes. So vortices, vortexes, I don't know how to say it, but anyway, it's going to be awesome.
These experiences are healing for you too, as well, Elisa, are they not?
Say that one more time?
Yeah, these experiences, meeting with people, they're healing for you too.
Yeah, but you know, it's kind of, it's a little overwhelming because I'm just a little broken woman sometimes, just like with a laptop, working on the blog. And so when I go to these things, it's a bit overwhelming because, I guess I just haven't come to grips with how big this has become, because I'm just a little lady that, you know, cleans the cat litter and waters her plants and works on the blog and, you know, and so on. So it's sometimes I feel like I've got this big 150-pound Doberman on the end of the leash, and it's leading me to all sorts of crazy places. So, I will say it's a bit overwhelming, but in a good way.
What would each of your final thoughts be for the audience tonight?
Well, I think mine would be, don't just say rest in peace to your loved one. Continue the relationship. It might be different, but it's still very, very much real. My relationship with Eric has changed. I used to be the teacher, and I used to be that person that tried so hard to make him happy. But now it's different. He is my teacher, and I think our relationship has gotten much richer, much deeper than it was before. So please continue to have a relationship with those you love who have passed on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, my kind of building on that, my closing thoughts would be, you know, the way that I see Eric continuing to grow and shift, his focus is not only to help people understand their own personal worth, their own personal strength and power, but also, you know, him and I are sort of trying to figure out how to work together to help people realize that, you know, I myself or any other medium out there is really no different than anybody else. It's not a gift that I have. It's just an ability. And Eric wants to help people develop that within themselves so that they can maintain a much deeper connection with their loved one in the afterlife, just like Elisa does. You know, there's so many ways that that relationship can be developed, but Eric and I hope to continue to help people to develop their clairs and their intuition and trust that, because if we can, then, you know, basically we all live a better life. We all live a more fulfilled life with less grief and less pain. So that's what we encourage everybody to do, is to see that within yourself.
Very, very well said. I so appreciate both of you coming on the program tonight. I know it was as tragic as it was. I think that this world owes you, Dr. Meadows, for being able to fight through that and realize that there is something more that we can learn from your grief, from your tragedy, and you're doing an amazing job by keeping that going. I know you have a lot of fans out there. I want to thank both of you for taking time out of your weekend to join me right here on Into the Paranormal.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeremy, for having us. And for having Eric.
Yes, thank you.
He can be a little bit of a pest sometimes, so we'll see if he leaves any messages for you.
I would be interested in that because I didn't get anything during the break, but yet I wasn't listening for it either because there's so much that goes on behind the scenes here. But yeah, as I listen back to the podcast, you're darn right. I'm going to be listening for that message, and if we get it, I'm gonna send it off to both of you, and maybe we'll be talking about that next week on the program. Good night to both of you.
Good night. Thank you.
That's
Good
Dr. Night. Elisa Meadows and Kim Babcock, Spirit Translator. What do you think about the afterlife, ladies and gentlemen? Is a little bit too much for you to entertain? For me, it's something that, you know, I fear. I mean, who doesn't fear death, right? But the ability that we might have after death in order to reach someone who's here in the interlife, which is what I refer to, and others refer to as well, as the life in which we currently live, the interlife, and then there's the afterlife. And the whole consciousness thing, which I haven't spent a lot of time talking about on this particular program, but I have on many other programs, is just as fascinating, that there is like this bubble, however you want to look at it, that lives next to us. It's like in a comic book, when you read the comics, there's those little air bubbles over the shoulders or whatnot. That's what consciousness, I believe, to be. Something that lives within us all, maybe not within us, but beside us. And this consciousness in death will succeed us. So as we die, and as we're buried, and everybody grieves our loss, our consciousness continues. It just keeps on floating through the atmosphere. Because how else can you explain communication from the other side? There has to be something. That is facilitating that. And if it's not consciousness, what is it? 818-672-6865. That's 818-672-6865. We still have some time for you. You could also Skype into Parabnormal as well. Tonight we debuted the newscast with Carissa Fleck. She's a psychic medium. Parabnormal news at the bottom of the hour. And that's only going to get better and better and better week after week after week. It's another reason why you should subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you go to intotheparabnormal.wix.com/ITP radio and click that YouTube channel button, either at the top or over on the right-hand side, or if you're on the mobile version, just scroll down and you'll eventually see it there. Give us a subscribe, and then it will notify you as soon as the episodes are posted. Now, I haven't broadcasted live on YouTube but one time because I wasn't happy with the audio quality. And in fact, Jake in our chat room brings up the fact that there is a bit of a pinging noise, as he refers to. And the pinging noise is caused because I'm doing this program on the absolute smallest of budgets. For those who don't know, I was doing a nationally syndicated radio program, which never really became nationally syndicated. And to do that, I got rid of everything I owned, pretty much, except a few cables and a computer and a mixing board, and went down to Texas. I was only able to recover some of that stuff to move back up to Oregon. So if you love this program, and if you're a stickler for audio quality, as am I, trust me, I know how to make this show sound better because I've been doing it for decades as a radio producer, but there's no budget to do it right now. So if you want to help us get to where we need to be sooner than later, there's a PayPal button at intotheparabnormal.wix.com/ITP radio. It's me, myself, and I back how it used to be before I took that trip down into East Texas. But if you want to help us get there, you can send through the PayPal link, all right? And I'll just put that out there because I know you want better audio quality. I know you want additional features, as do I. And as soon as we have money to make those happen, they will happen in very, very, very short order. Because like I said, I've been doing this for a while, but I'm doing it right now on no budget. So enough about me, but since there was a question about that, I thought I would address it. So there you go. But if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you will get the Parabnormal Newscast with Carissa Fleck. And should there be ever an after program, like there could have been tonight, we had such wonderful questions from the audience as well, and wonderful calls as well. If the phone had kept ringing, we would have kept Elisa and Kim over for another hour, and we would have made that as an exclusive on our YouTube channel. So give us a subscription, watch some videos, maybe click on a couple of links, support the advertisers, call and thank them for sponsoring this program. Those are things you can do to help us grow. Of course, share, retweet, like, follow, comment on all the social media. You know the drill, right? Well, as I told you earlier in the program, we had some darn right absolutely send you falling onto your couch cushion kind of laughable material. And we've got those stories coming up. However, I also mentioned that we were going to talk about theories related to the search for extraterrestrial or alien life, which is always fascinating. Why we haven't made contact, where our best chances of making contact are, all those kinds of things. Well, there's apparently a list the top 20 exoplanets where astronomers say we have the best chance of finding alien life. That's courtesy of a story, ScienceAlert.com, which you can read at intotheparanormal.wix.com by clicking on to episode 170 with Dr. Elisa Medus and Kim Babcock. And go down to the bottom, you'll find the news links there as well. Those include the stories that you heard on this program and in Carissa's Paranormal newscast. But there you go, the 20 best candidates for finding extraterrestrial life. Of course, that doesn't give us any hope that we may actually ever find it there, because that work has been happening for decades, and yet, nothing. In fact, Tabby Starr now, off topic here, or a little bit on topic, but I wasn't going to talk about this story, but since it relates, yeah, that star is now dimming. And so, all the hullabaloo that was made over it last year turns out to be, yeah, just a bunch of nothing. A paper in the Journal of Cosmology and Astroparticle Physics says the key to life forming on a planet is the expected lifetime of the star it orbits. The longer a star lives, the greater the likelihood a planet in its habitable zone will form late. This theory suggests that life formed on Earth prematurely in relation to the rest of the universe and should only now have actually started. So I guess we are ahead of the game. Hey, there have been some UFO sightings in Florida, I think like 5 in a week or so. One of them has reportedly prompted a visit by the famous Men in Black. I don't know if we can call it an outbreak or not, but that's the word being used in this story. Speaking of UFO, you know, I don't think there will ever be a story that compares to the story of the pizza oven UFO, which is a program I had at some point last year, probably on that other program, about a big chunk of metal that flew out of the sky and crashed somewhere and caught on fire. And everybody thought it was a UFO until they put it out and realized it was a pizza oven. And then in Ireland, there's this flying saucer-like object that was literally shimmying and shaking down the streets of Gorey. There is a video, actually, of a police car chasing after it. And you can actually hear those sirens. That's a police car chasing after a flying saucer in Ireland. Of course, there's more to the story there. It was actually part of a festival they were trying to raise awareness for, and they did a good job as far as I'm concerned. And so that's always funny. I mean, you got to go check out the video. I probably didn't do it much justice, but if you check out the video, I can guarantee you're going to have a laugh here on this Saturday evening. That is for sure. And finally is the story that I can't believe is actually in print, but it actually is. It's the story of a woman who says she's had a sexual relationship with Bigfoot since about 2008. And they're actually trying to start a family up in Mason County, Washington. Apparently, she grows medical marijuana, or regular marijuana, which is, of course, legal up in Washington State. And she's encountered this Bigfoot. By her story, from the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, I'm Jeremy Scott. Thanks so much for listening. Good night.